Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is calling a special session today because today is the day the world went completely, or this country went completely crazy regarding the coronavirus. Trump had a big speech last night. It was, I think, intended to calm the fears of the nation, and I'm comfortable saying that was not the result.
No, it did not. Did not go over very well. It was not well received. First of all, just Trump is not a great. When it comes to these types of addresses and these types of presentations, he just doesn't really present the way you would want someone in that position to present. And a lot of people, like, there are conservatives and Trump supporters who will get very offended by that statement and get very defensive about it. And it's not even necessarily a criticism that I'm laying upon him. I'm just saying that's not his forte. That's not when, like, he's at his best when he's at a rally. He can be a little off the cuff or a lot off the cuff. You know, he can throw some jokes in there and he can lighten the mood. He can be
bombastic.
Yeah, bombastic and self-aggrandizing, and he can, you know, give that quick pause for applause, and like he's an entertainer. That's where he's good. These sort of speeches and addresses where he needs to be very direct and succinct. And kind of be the example that he's trying to set in terms of calm and organized. That's not his thing. He's not good at it.
And knowing what you're talking about goes a long way too.
Yeah, I mean it's to a degree, and I think that none of our past presidents have been experts in pandemics and things like that. But I think it's not so much knowing what you're talking about. It's all right going in. These are the things that, this is what you're going to say. You're going to say X, Y, Z. Don't deviate. Don't blah, blah, blah. Like, you work with your speech writers. We work with your policy people. And as a president, you go in, you know, whether it's Obama, even, you know, George W. Bush, and pretty much every president that I've experienced has stuck to this, right? And I feel like whenever he has these sort of situations, it feels like he kind of tried to cram for the test at the last minute, like the last hour before the test, you know, right before they gave the speech, he looked over it and then kind of had to hem and haw his way through it.
Well, what I should have said was not, you need to know what you don't know. I mean, the person he put in charge to take care of the situation was Mike Pence, who knows as much about it as you.
No, that's not, I mean, I don't care that it was Mike Pence. I think the issue, like, yes, because you don't like Mike Pence, but you take the personal aspect away from it. I don't need a doctor of immunobiology to be the lead of this, as much as people think, because, like, with the Ebola crisis, who was in charge of that? Was it a doctor? Was it a person who was a specialist in pandemics? No, it wasn't.
I have no idea who it was.
And that's the thing, like, you don't, right? And the reason why you don't is because it was handled properly, right? I mean, like, and people will say, oh, well, Obama was slow to, they were slow, but they got it under control. And they got it under control very quickly and they handled it appropriately. Trump doesn't have the right people in place, which is one of the biggest issues kind of holding us back. And people say, well, no, you know, like, there's this kind of debate going on about whether he has the right people in place or not, and he doesn't. He did have them in place. There was a Rear Admiral Timothy Zimmer, who was leading the Global Health Security Team, which is part of the National Security Council, and he ended up leaving the National Security Council, and his team ended up getting broken up when John Bolton comes into play, right? John Bolton is the new national security advisor. Everybody knows the mustache. So he comes in and says, I want to rearrange things. And he's, you know, John Bolton wanted to kind of consolidate power of the National Security Council all under himself. And so there was a clash. And obviously, we don't know details of what that clash was. But this Timothy Zimmer guy gets out and his entire team that was like the global health security team, which would have been your team dealing with, you know, these sort of biohazard pandemic things, that whole team got disbanded. You also had Tom Bossert, who was the former, the Homeland Security Advisor, right? And what he wanted was a comprehensive bio defense, like, strategy, right? Like, he's like, so in case something like Ebola or SARS or whatever happens again, we need to have a strategy and we need to have a team in place. Well, John Bolton got rid of him too. John Bolton fired him, and the other guy, Timothy Zimmer, he left, right? Like, so you had people in place who could prepare for this back in 2018, and then when John Bolton comes on board, he gets rid of them. And so that's part of your problem, is that you don't have people in place who are prepared for this sort of thing. Mike Pence is your vice president. Him being in the role that he's in right now is helping some, but the issue is that Trump is the problem. Right? Like, Mike Pence is out there trying to deliver information and whatever. Trump is contradicting him, right? Pence is going off of what the guy's name is, I think, Anthony Fauci. Anthony Fauci is like your disease pandemic expert, right? They brought him in. They brought him in a little too late, but he's the guy kind of controlling how we're responding, right? He's trying to pick up the pieces from where we should have been dealing with this back in November when it really broke in China. He's trying to put it all together now. And so Pence is relaying what that Fauci guy is saying. Trump is not, right? Trump is just saying whatever the fuck he wants to say. And Trump is ultimately the problem here.
Well, you know, I'm not going to jump in and defend him. The speech was clunky, to be sure. And, you know, like you said, that's not his strength in terms of being calming, whatever. He did say some of the right things, like this is no time for politics. He didn't officially blame Obama for it, as far as I know, yet.
I mean, he has to a degree. I mean, I know he's in the last couple of weeks, he has somehow
he's found a way to make it
to blame Obama in some way, shape, or form. I mean, which I think I always have this image in my head of, you know, like the last few years where, you know, Trump blames Obama for something, and I got Obama sitting in a room, right, like just listening to classical music, working on his novel or his biography or whatever, and then, you know, Trump says some random shit that he blames on Obama that had nothing to do with Obama, and someone pops in and is like, hey, Barry, Trump's at it again, and he's just like, yeah, just
turn up the music.
Yeah, just get out. I don't care.
Yeah, I'm guessing you're right. But anyway, this is turned into something that neither of us have ever seen before to this degree. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people on social media, who mostly right-wing people, are saying this is all a creation of the Democrats, the screw over Trump for the election, which is one of the dumbest things I've heard in a very long time.
Yeah, that's such a bad take, right? I mean,
well, first of all, you got Italy and the World Health Organization to work with you in this effort, if that's the case.
Italy, the World Health Organization, and China.
In China.
Right? Yeah, I mean, have a big problem in Iran. Like, so Iran, the situation in Iran is so bad that they're digging holes for mass graves, and these holes are so big they can fucking see them from space. Right?
Like, I heard that. Holy fuck.
Right. I mean, like, so, I mean, and that was in a political article from Meredith McGrath, if you want to look it up. But I mean, like, my concern is that we don't, you know, everyone's looking at the numbers from China, and I think the issue is, do we trust what's coming out of China in terms of numbers? Do we feel that they're accurate? I mean, what information are they actually feeding us? And there's also the issue of scale with China, right? I mean, there's over 1.5 billion people in China. So, you know, where they, you know, they may say, oh, well, it's only impacting, you know, X percentage of the population.
That could be 100 million people.
Right, exactly. I mean, like a small percentage there is still hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. So we have to be very careful when we're talking about percentages and everything else. But there's a lot to unpack just with China. Like, you can't just look at the numbers. You have to you have to be able to look at it in context to be able to kind of figure out what you're getting there. And I don't think we have all the context to really understand the numbers that are coming out of China. But Italy does help to a degree. But again, Italy is completely different because they're much smaller and they're much, you know, they're packed in together. So how does that relate to us? I mean, that there's a lot of unknowns out there.
And to answer your question, do we believe what we're hearing out of China? Let me handle this one. No.
No. No, we do not. I mean, at least we don't. I mean, for some reason, a lot of... Now, I think there are kind of objective, neutral groups on the ground or near China that are kind of feeding information to our various organizations involved, where they feel that they can rely on that to a degree, to help kind of formulate what the model looks like. So that helps, right?
Okay.
I mean, there are a number of people, and I actually have a friend who lives in China right now, and the message I got from them was somewhat terrifying. You know, referencing hundreds of thousands being dead.
Okay. Wow.
The good thing about that is that there's 1.5 billion people in China. A majority of those dead are kind of centered around the Wuhan area where this kind of broke out. So that makes sense, right? It breaks out there. You didn't know it was there. China's a big country. It took them time to get there and figure it out. So obviously kind of, you're going to see the worst of the worst there. And then as you get control of it, obviously those numbers should, the worst case scenario numbers should decline.
Well, and they've in the United States, all the deaths have been in elderly people with other conditions, which, again, other people have been dismissive of that. Well, that affects pretty much everyone's family somehow. So to dismiss that
we can't dismiss it because even if you want to, like, people want to say, well, it's a small number, so that's not a big deal, and it's only these people. Like you said, it impacts everyone's family, but you're still talking about millions of people that fall into that category.
And we're talking about something that we're trying to contain. I mean, maybe contain isn't even too generous. It's here. And the question is, how widespread is it? We really don't know.
Right.
I just heard today the Cleveland Clinic has developed a test for COVID-19 that is effective in 8 hours rather than a couple days. So good job, Cleveland Clinic.
The thing about that, though, is there are tests in other countries. Like Singapore has a two-hour test that's 99% accurate.
Okay.
And they've had it for a while. And so that's part of the issue here is that, you know, you've got other countries like Israel just came out with the test that they, Israel just stated that they have a vaccine that's ready to go into testing. Now, that's still a ways out before it's going to be useful, but...
Well, and please don't think I'm telling you this, but another thing I'm seeing all over social media that's driving me fucking crazy is people thinking vaccines cure these things. They don't.
Right.
They get your body to respond to you for you to not get it. So if you're sick and they give you a vaccine, you're just as sick as you were before.
Right.
And it amazes me how much disinformation or lack of understanding is out there.
Well, I mean, there's both, right? There is disinformation or inaccurate information, because I don't think all of it is intentional.
Right.
But then you also have a ton of people who just don't understand really how any of this works, right? Like, they hear these words vaccine, and they don't really know what they mean, right? And not to say that it's, you know, it's just people who... who don't think it all the way through, right? Like, there's plenty of, like, suburban soccer moms out there who hear the word vaccine and think, I need to go get a vaccine to, you know, in case I, you know, because if I get it, that's the only, well, no, a vaccine is not going to cure you. But if they do release a vaccine, go get it, because it may be the thing that prevents you from getting it.
Correct.
Correct. But we're a ways away from that, no matter who comes up with the vaccine first, whether it's Israel or China or whoever. At least before we're able to use it in the U.S., we're at minimum, what do you say,
10 months
out?
Oh, yeah, at least.
So, a vaccine from stopping people from getting it is a ways away. Who knows if you, I mean, do we actually have a cure for the flu as it stands right now?
No, we don't. But there are antiviral drugs out there. Now, most of them target HIV. That was the biggest, you know, in about 1998, Boehringer Ingelheim put out Vivermune, which was, I think it was Vivermune. Anyway, and that was the first antiviral drug. That's one of the other thing people understand is a virus is very different than a bacteria. So for a bacteria, you take an antibiotic. For a virus, you take an antiviral. I frankly don't know the mechanism exactly how they work. And if I start talking about how viruses attack a host cell, people will fall asleep.
Yes.
But it's a very different
type. I will fall asleep.
It's a very different type of treatment. And I don't know if anyone knows if this is effective against coronavirus.
And I right. So the point is, we don't have a cure for it. Even like once we get a vaccine, we don't. That doesn't mean we have a cure. We do want to get testing that really cuts down the time in terms of finding out what you're dealing with. I mean, I read this really terrible story today about a guy who went in 11 days ago because he was showing symptoms. The hospital he went into, I think he was in Boston or somewhere in Massachusetts, they handled it completely wrong. They quarantined him for, you know, over a day, and then they sent him home and said he was all clear. They read his tests wrong, the sample Jeez. Went bad, and then they told him to self-quarantine, and then he ended up calling his, you know, local health organization, and they freaked out, and then so they had him retested, and that was as of today, and he still didn't have the results back from the test that his local health organization did. So, I mean, it's a very worrisome situation, and I think people need to understand, like, because you have your detractors out there that are saying all this hype, shutting down events, which we'll talk about a little bit later, and the media, all of it, it's overkill. We're making too big of a deal about this. Seasonal flu kills more people, which that's not accurate.
More total, maybe, or has to date.
It has to date, but at the same time, this has only existed for a short amount of time.
Right.
Seasonal flu, various strains have been around longer, but the thing is that the mortality rate on this thing is
about six times higher.
Yeah,
I think.
Six times higher, which that's a lot,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
even if it only, and people are, oh, it's only going to impact 1%. 1% of the people in the United States is still hundreds of thousands of people, folks.
Potential, yeah.
You know, I mean, like,
if half the country got it, that would mean roughly one. That would mean roughly
half
a million.
You don't even need half.
No, right? You don't. But I mean, just think of the scale. That would be over a million people that are going to die,
right,
as a result
of
this.
Right. I mean, but I guess my point is, I don't think. I think the way it's being presented in the media is definitely questionable with some of these outlets. I think the concern is legitimate, and I think that the reason why you have the CDC responding the way that they are, the World Health Organization responding the way that they are, and so many health professionals that are really, really concerned about, you know, large gatherings and shutting things down and shutting the schools down, the reason why that's so critical, it's not because they think that this is going to be the thing that comes in and wipes everybody out and it's going to turn everything into The Walking Dead. That's not the concern. The concern is once it gets into the communities, the people that are vulnerable then become even more exposed.
Yeah.
Right? It's my grandmother who just turned 80 this week. It's my dad.
My mom.
My dad he's 60 years old or 62 years old, but he has an autoimmune issue. It's you know, it's people who are fighting cancer, people with AIDS, other autoimmune diseases, lupus, know, like all those sort of things, right? Like all those people are vulnerable, right? And the issue is that if they get it, this thing is worse than the seasonal flu, and if it doesn't kill them, it will put them in the hospital, right? And that's the other side of it. Aside from the people who will directly be impacted, right, you have what this does to our healthcare system. This puts so much pressure. We only have so many ICU beds and so many beds in the emergency room and so many beds in the hospital to begin with, right?
Right.
So if you get an influx of 100,000, 200,000, 500,000 people into the ICU, into the emergency room, guess what, right? The other emergencies and the other, all that shit, shootings, all that, none of that shit stops, right? So
right.
Then you run out of beds. Then you run out of ICU, right? And now you've got nurses, doctors working overtime, right? They're getting exhausted and they're getting run down. Guess what? You get tired, you get exhausted, your immune system becomes compromised.
And you're going to be around sick people,
right,
carrying the virus.
Right, carrying this virus and every other thing that's fucking out there. So now you've got run down doctors, run down nurses who are dealing with very sick people across the board, and then they start to drop. Right? Like, that's the issue that they're
yeah.
having in China. The reason why people in China are dying, the doctors and the nurses, is because they're working nonstop. And they become susceptible, and then they die. Right? And that's what we want to avoid here. That's why everyone is saying, like, the reason why we have to shut these events down is so that we can try to, again, contain it and prevent this massive spread throughout the communities. Because otherwise, even if we say, all right, it only killed 200,000 people, That's still 200,000 people. Yeah. That's right? Like, I mean, that's two entire Ohio State stadiums filled with people dead.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, obviously, but I would bet that's more than World War I, World War II, and Civil War combined. It's probably of Americans, not of total people.
I'm not that big of a history buff where I know, you know, numbers of people who died in wars. That's just a little too bleak for me. But, I mean, we're still talking about a shit ton of people.
Yep. If people don't participate in the efforts to control this, they're making it worse. A couple of my friends in the comedy scene the other day were out the other night, and like one of them was complaining, I can't hug anybody, but they're choosing not to do it because they're taking it seriously. I'm listening to other people saying, it's government bullshit, I'm not falling for it, I'm not changing my life. Well, that's gonna fuck up everyone else's effort.
It's not about your life. So here's a perfect example. On Monday, a guy on Facebook made this comment. One of the people that I'm affiliated with on Facebook says, you know, people are overreacting to this whole coronavirus thing. I went to Costco and they were out of toilet paper. Obesity kills however many people every year. I think our priorities are wrong. Okay, that was Monday. Okay,
all right.
Okay. Last night, I had made a statement, you know, kind of similar to what I've been saying here. And he says, hey, that's a great point. You know, my dad was given only so many months to live not too long ago. He's got a lung issue, and we are concerned, like, it's gotten worse over the last couple weeks, and we're concerned that he has a coronavirus, and if he does, this could be it a lot sooner than we thought. Really scary. That was the same guy.
Same guy, 2 days apart.
Same guy, 2 or 3 days apart, right? Monday, it's no big deal, we're overreacting, he can't get toilet paper at Costco, and, you know, fat people are dying. Okay, well, true, but still, it's still a problem. Two things can be true at once.
Right.
Right. I feel like I say that shit all the fucking time, but it's like people don't fucking process it. Right. Like, obesity is a problem. Obesity is not going away, and we care about it. Trust me, there wouldn't be so many different fucking diets that everybody's constantly trying, whether it's keto. How many different fucking supplements do you have because, you know, trying to stay healthy and all that other bullshit? So no one's ignoring obesity because of this. Right. We're just saying we don't want this on top of that.
Right.
Right, like we want to try to minimize the numbers and impact of this as much as we can. Why the fuck are people fighting that so fucking hard?
And you've mentioned, you know, past outbreaks like Ebola. We had Ebola, swine flu. People are like, well, those things, they said those were going to kill us. Nothing happened. Okay, yes, they were scares, and yes, people were told, hey, be careful with your washing your hands and where you go and whatever. Look at what they're doing for this one. So if those things were properly handled, apparently. I mean, we survived swine flu and H1N1 and all that other stuff. Are they the same thing? H1N1? I think they are. Anyway.
There was swine flu and the bird flu. Those are different. I don't remember which one was H1N1.
Right. Oh, another thing. People are saying this is just like the flu. It's a different strain of virus. So another dumb thing that people are doing. This has been around forever. It's on the look at a 20-year-old Lysol bottle. Yes, coronaviruses have been around for a very long time. However, they have not been this aggressive. This strain is doing stuff the previous ones didn't. And just because it's on a fucking Lysol can from 10 years ago doesn't mean it's not an issue.
Again, like, what they're saying is true, that this is coming out of the Wuhan area in China, and it probably came from, you know, an open market, right? Like, it was an ant where they had, I mean, like, this is what happened. So, yes, that happened once before. Right, where they mix batshit with the pig, and then the pig ends up releasing this crazy virus, and then this is happening again, where they mix this time batshit with the cow, and now you get the coronavirus 2.0, right? And
it's stronger. I don't know the animals.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, that sort of thing. And the only reason I say a bat is just because of that movie Contagion.
Okay.
Where they and allegedly that movie Contagion was saying they pulled real life situations and then just kind of dramatized
it. I do think that one of the major outbreaks was from a bat. I just don't think this one is. But, you know, working against the system, working against people trying to do better is so counterproductive. And
part of the problem, though, are those people who are saying that this is a plot against Trump.
Right.
right? We're, I mean, they're hyping this up, so it'll tank the stock market and it'll hurt me. That's all this is. It's a democratic hoax. It's a ploy. It's a scam. It's like, media hoax, right? Which the thing, and this is where Trump supporters are going to have an issue. Right, because this guy is screaming hoax, 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 and it'll be gone. And so he's, only 12 people are going to get it, and it'll disappear. And then all of a sudden, he's canceling his own rallies.
Right.
Right, there's a concern that he and Pence could have it because someone else had it. I think somebody from Brazil. So there's serious concern about this thing. And then the address that he gives last night, where he knows he's got to do a 180 on the whole thing. He bumbles and trips through it. Like, that's your leader. Right, that's your, you know, I mean, that scene in Black Panther. Is this your king? Right, is this the one? This the person you picked to lead? Right, anybody can fucking lead when shit is easy. Right, oh, stock market is booming. Oh, just because, like, Trump, you did, like, the stock market shot through the roof the day he got elected. It wasn't because he did anything. It's because they knew that he was, like, he was going to say, fuck the rules, and then it was going to be free money again.
I'd also like to point out that the stock market had risen I think tripled from Obama's start to Obama's leaving office.
It did, but I'm just saying, literally the day he went in.
It got a huge bump.
It got a huge bump, and then
deregulation does that for people.
Right, exactly. They knew he was going to come in and deregulate. It wasn't that he had done anything magical, right?
Agreed.
And so it's easy to lead in those times, right? I mean, we didn't have anything major in terms of wars. I mean, like, everything was manageable, and he was able, and a lot of things, everything we even said, like, this guy, like, nothing sticks to this guy, and he's just able to laugh it all off, right? And then his supporters are like, see how great he is, and anyone with any common sense, right, even his supporters, they were just bullshitting at the time, knew that Trump was a clown, right? They knew he's a fucking clown, right? And now, all of a sudden, you've got a real situation. People's actual lives are on the line. It's all fun and games where you can own the libs and you control people on Twitter, blah, blah, blah. It's, oh, we should care more about obesity. This is bullshit, right? Until it's your dad that's on his deathbed,
right?
Who you get to spend less time with, right? Because this disease is here because we probably didn't take the necessary steps to help try to control it earlier. And I'm not blaming Trump for that. Guy's dad's dying.
No, I understand.
And I'm not blaming Trump for that guy's dad getting this disease. I am not doing that. All right? But don't downplay the seriousness of this, right? Because this shit could be at your front door. And so when your president is doing it, that can give you a false sense of security that you probably shouldn't have had.
Right. And now I think there's a strong sense of insecurity because he bumbled through his speech. He contradicted what he was told to say. It's a bad look, and as a result, the stock market has come crashing down, in large part because of what's happening here, and businesses are being disrupted, but also global supply chains have already been disrupted badly,
right,
because we get so much from China.
You know, and when we talked to Ben, you know, our guest a couple shows ago, which, you know, is on our site, that you can still find or, you know, look at our Twitter feed or, you know, find it on iTunes and wherever you get your podcast. But when we talked to Ben, I mean, he said, listen, the concern is going to be supply chain,
yeah. Right?
Because, you know, China supplies so much and then China's shutting down. So at some point, even if they only shut down for 6 weeks, what does this do for goods coming out of China and things? And that's the concern, right? Which, by the way, Democrats have no fucking control over. Right, like the investors aren't looking at, you know, MSNBC, and they're not looking at CNN and saying, oh, well, Wolf Blitzer said XYZ. No, they're looking at China and saying that China's, you know, shops and warehouse and all their manufacturing, that shit's all shut down, and they're looking at that, and they're looking airlines and everything else that goes with it.
Well, and also, what could compound this even more is a lot of drugs use excipients, or what are called APIs, active pharmaceutical ingredients, that are manufactured in China. The final dosage form is here, but the active ingredient is coming from there. And very few companies that I've worked with have good backup plans. They always talk about it. We always have to have a backup supplier. We can never be single-sourced, because if we do and something happens to that plant,
we're fucked.
And the number of companies that have successfully navigated that I've worked with is, I'm struggling to come up with a single one. Mm. I mean, I'm sure it has happened, but who knows if those things that we're going to need to treat people who get sick are going to become in short supply because the place they're coming from has empty factories because everyone there is sick. That's how a pandemic happens.
Right. I mean, that's where we're at. Yep. Right? I mean, that's where we're at. The only good thing about it is that the numbers on this right now in the U.S. are small, but I mean, like, looking at other...
That we know of,
but the issue is, one, once we start getting accurate tests and shorter frame tests, like, those numbers are going to start to go up, and they're not going to go up because of the virus spreading at a more rapid rate. It's just that we're going to have a more accurate picture of who has what. People have been traveling to and from China. This thing started in 2019. Right, the president didn't shut down travel from China until January, right? January or February, I can't remember.
Right.
But so there was plenty of time for people traveling all over China to get all over the world, right? And you know, who could have picked this up, right? And these things spread really fast. You know, the fear is that you could have hundreds of thousands of people here who have it actually already, and we don't and have don't the know testing to figure out who they are or where they are. Right. And again, that's part of the fear.
Yep.
Right. And yes, you have a 99.9% chance of surviving. But the problem is that that point percentage of a chance, that small percentage of a chance that you don't, right, like that makes certain people really vulnerable. Right. And those people have a much higher percentage chance of having a really bad relationship with this thing.
Right. Right. And so, again, we've talked about past scares. I don't remember anything being canceled for any of them. Look at what's getting canceled now. I'm not saying it was. I don't remember any. It certainly was not on a. It was not on a massive scale. There might have been travel restrictions. There might have been.
Right. This is uncharted territory in terms of things being canceled. I mean, like you may have had smaller local things depending on where things were, but I mean, they've suspended the NBA season. They've suspended the NHL season. They've suspended Major League Baseball the rest of spring training and pushed back opening day 2 weeks, which is good in Cleveland because, you know, our weather situation. It'll warm up, yep. But what does that do for the World Series? I mean, are we going to be playing the World Series in November, December? Right? I mean, like, the thing already goes into November, so, I mean, like, how does that work? You know, March Madness, the NCAA tournament, canceled.
That is so fucking crazy to me.
Canceled. Not suspended, not playing in front of empty arenas, canceled.
That is so wild.
There's no March Madness, no brackets, none of that.
That is, my favorite sporting event of the year is the first day of March Madness. Now, that's neither here nor there in the big picture, but that is a day I take off from work every year to just go drink beer and watch nonstop basketball. I've got, a friend of mine is a huge University of Dayton fan. She went there.
Oh, God.
For them, dude. Yeah.
Right? I mean, the one year, this is your chance, and then it's just like, well, shutting it all down.
And again, trivial in the big picture.
Well, but no, it shows it's not trivial. In terms of
actually, like, affecting lives.
Well, no, because there are a lot of people whose money depends on this, right?
That's
true. I mean, like, how many people in those arenas who NBA and NHL share arenas, and, like, the people who work in the...
any kind of service industry
right,
for that?
Right, any kind of, like, right. Like,
popcorn vendors.
Hot dogs, all that stuff, you know, soda, liquor, beer, like all of it, food,
right?
Just the bathroom attendants, whatever, valet, you know, the parking deck people, all of it. Like, those people aren't working, right? Like, because there's nothing going on. There's no sporting events. There's no concerts. Like, so those people are losing out on money. Mark Cuban came out and said he's going to do what he can and put a package together so that the employees at the arena where the Mavericks play get paid. But that's one out of however many between all the different sports teams. And weird kind of side note, you know who else this really affects?
Go for it.
FanDuel, DraftKings.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Vegas. How about Vegas in general? Jeez.
I mean, because...
You know how much gambling goes on around March Madness?
Right. I mean, there's tons of, like, people in Vegas are, could be, you know, trying to jump off bridges into the desert. Like, I mean, it is, this is going to have a major impact.
And And... It trickles down in the sense that when people are going out to watch a basketball game, they go to a downtown area where there's an arena. Yep. They eat, they drink, they do stuff that supports that economy. That's going to dry up or is drying up, I think.
Yeah.
I mean,
there are already issues.
I'm half tempted to go downtown and just see what it feels like.
Okay. I mean... Downtown Cleveland is not always the most
dynamic.
Active. I mean,
true.
It's one thing. It would be one thing if LeBron were still here.
Okay.
And you know, I mean, like when LeBron was here every night that the Cavs were home. What I mean, you know,
fine.
East 4th Street, TNT, all that stuff were here. I was just downtown last week. I had dinner with some associates I mean, it was dead. It was eerie how dead it was. And it wasn't because of the virus, because there was nothing going on down right. there.
But now there's going to be less going on. There won't be an Indians game three nights a week. I don't know, Steve. I don't...
I mean, your point is valid. I mean, especially Cleveland may not be the best example, but other places where, right. you know, Chicago, New York, right. what are those places? I mean, I've seen pictures on Twitter of people in places like Rome, you know, other places in Europe where, you know, like, hey, I'm a tourist in so-and-so, and there's no one around me, not another person taking a picture. My camera's sitting on a rock. I put it on a timer.
In places like St. Peter's Square, where it's normally yeah, where just there's jammed normal, with people.
Right, and hundreds of thousands, or and, hundreds well, of people anyway, or thousands
and,
of people.
And the governor of Ohio, Mike DeWine,
yeah.
came out today and said, you cannot have any event with more than 100 attendees.
Yep.
So, concerts, mm-hmm. canceling all the time. Pete Holmes was supposed to come perform at Hilarities this week. Canceled his shows.
My Sunday night orgies? Canceled.
Canceled. He also dropped down to 99 people, Steve.
99 problems with a bitch ain't one. He also shut down school, all school, public and private, for 3 weeks, which I thought it was interesting that he was able to shut down private schools, but, I mean, I'm not upset about it.
Which impacts people with kids who have to take care of kids.
Which I have one.
I'm aware.
And the approach that I'm going to take here is kind of spread it around. So, you know, my daughter had a sitter when she was, you know, early, you know, before she was going to school, who was a nanny at her own house. So, you know, we would drop her off at the nanny's house. So she's going to go back there a couple days a week. And then there are other kids in the neighborhood whose parents that we know really well that, you know, will kind of switch off days and everything like that. But it's 3 weeks, right? Like, so, you know, there's going to be some, like, I may have to miss some days of work to be home with the kid just because I can't put it all on mom and I can't put it all on neighbor and I can't put it all, you know what I mean? Like, so we'll have to...
It's also potentially going to restructure how companies treat their work from home policies, because a lot of people can work from home, but typically aren't allowed to.
Right.
And now they're going to, you know, A, you're going to have a chance to prove when this is all over that you can work from home safely. It'll see if it just changes the whole dynamic.
I mean, the other thing too is what about like, all right, so if you don't have a work from home policy and people are forced to quarantine or whatever, I mean, are those people, what if they don't have PTO and sick time? Are they just fucked?
If you're a nurse with a kid, what do you do?
Right. I mean, so does Congress come through with some sort of stimulus package to be able to help people? I mean, you know, and what happens in a situation like mine where, yes, I have PTO, yes, I have sick time, but if I take that and I burn through it and they say, you know, and I burn through it because I have to be home with my kid, right? Or I have to burn through it because, you know, or if they tell us, like, you go home, but you're not allowed to work from home, because as of right now, I'm technically not allowed to work from home. I do a lot of work out of the office remotely, but technically, like, I can't say I'm not coming into the office, I'm working from home.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to job sites and stuff like that.
Right, exactly. So the question is, like, what happens to me? And I thought about this today. Like, I wonder what does happen. If our CEO shut us down, sent us home and said, you know, no, don't come in for a week, how does that work? Am I getting paid during that time? Do I have to take vacation time, sick time? How does that work?
And you work for the government.
Yes.
So you're not in a factory that's relying on pushing product out the door.
No.
Like one of
the problem. We serve the residents of Cuyahoga County.
I understand. And there's people who suffer if you guys aren't doing your job.
Yeah.
But you're not.
Which is part of the reason I'm not too worried, because I think it'll be, at minimum, he'll go down to essential staff.
Okay.
Now the question is, am I essential staff? I don't know.
All right. Well, a friend of mine from a place I used to work put a thing out that they were making people still come to work, but they canceled a work-based party. And he's like, well, the same people are, I mean, it's fair to say that the party is for fun and why take the extra risk, but they're keeping
once
people.
Once they're there, though.
Yeah. Right? I think it was an off-site party. I frankly didn't pry into details. I just saw him posting about it. The economic trickle down from, it's not even trickle down, it's fucking avalanche from from all these things.
I mean, this could put us into a recession
very easily.
And
you're welcome, Bill Maher, you fuck.
Right. Like, if I see him on the streets, it'll be worth getting.
Fairly likely he's not going to be strolling around the streets of Cleveland, but yes.
Right.
But exactly.
The question is, so now we slip into a recession going into, you know, an election year. And the question becomes, what does, you know, then we really get to see what Trump is made of. What does he do to get us out of it? Does he do anything to get us out of it? You know, there's a lot of concern about Trump really being in the presidency and taking advantage of this to, you know, get, you know, to get himself richer and put himself in a better financial position after he leaves the White House. So what will his policy decisions look like? And I'm not saying that he's doing that. I'm just saying that that shit is out there. Does he do what's best for, you know, the greater good of the people of the country? Or does he take care of the other rich billionaires that are out there?
You want my prediction on that one?
I don't even want to put it out there. I want to try to stay as objective as possible. I mean, we're talking about a lot of lives and a lot of things being impacted. So I don't want to put the spin on it. I just like what, I mean, I think these are valid questions that only time will tell and his actions will tell. And I don't want to condemn him before he does something wrong. I mean, he tripped and fell. And I think I'm willing to say that was more just him being bad at that thing than it was him fucking up.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, in his speech, he said it's time for us to come together, and he's absolutely right. But, you know, I'm bitching about the right wingers who are saying this is all a hoax, this is all whatever, but I don't want to be part of the problem. I don't want to, you know, scream back and try to turn this into a shouting match. I can battle back and forth on Twitter with someone all day long, and even if everything I say is 100% right, I'm not doing any good with that.
Right.
I mean, unless I've got information that I'm sharing that helps people. But I'm frankly afraid to share stuff because there's so much bad information out there. Like, I read something the other day that made sense to me about how to avoid this. Drink lots of water, wash your hands diligently, use hot water when you do it, you know, keep 3 feet of distance, don't, you know, it was a series of behaviors, and they all made sense to me. And one of them was drinking water because anything that's in your throat will then go into your stomach and the acid will kill it. I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't know.
So I'm not going to repost that because I don't know.
Right.
But I'm in a minority of people.
I mean, I think one of the smart things to do is, and this is where it's one of the things that's been frustrating with the Trump administration is their constant attack on information. Now, it's not all Trump, because a lot of the media, CNN, has been a major issue with just putting any fucking story out there without vetting it that's been proved to be either inaccurate or a lie or wrong or whatever. And it's happened to them over and over and over again. It's happened to MSNBC. You know, it's different news outlets, you know, whether it's online or paper, New York Times, whoever. And so because of that, Trump has been able to wage this war on information. And he's able to say to the people who follow him, you know, without hesitation, he's able to say, don't trust the media. Fake news is bad. It's the enemy of the people, blah, blah, blah. He's got all these pet names for all the different news organizations that he doesn't like. And he's saying, get all the information from me. I'm the only one that you could trust. Me, trust me and Kellyanne Conway. And, you know, used to be Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and now it's the girl who doesn't talk. You know, so he's done that, right? Like, but now he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what to say. So now we have to go back to, okay, so we got to trust something. We got to hope that this is right. Like, I mean, like, you've got to go back to that blind faith. And so what I'm telling people is, go to the CDC. CDC has the information on the website. Trust the CDC. Get out of that whole deep state bullshit. All right? Put that, like, you can still wear your MAGA hat. You can still hate the Mexicans and the blacks and all that other shit. But if you want to say, you want to say pop pop, all right, go pay attention to what's on the fucking CDC website, right? And do what it says.
I wonder how much traffic increase the CDC website has gotten.
Oh my god! It's funny. I wondered the exact same thing last night while I was on it, right? Because it was a little slow. I was like, I wonder if we're gonna fucking crash this thing. But I think the CDC website is backstopped enough, just in case. But Who knows? I don't know. But it seems like it's still doing good. I mean, I've been on it multiple times over the last week. There's another interesting aspect to all this, really random and way off the kind of beaten trail. But there's an article that was released today that I thought was interesting, that the county jail is pushing to release inmates at the county jail, like, as we speak. Like, they are rushing to get people, to get, people in jail, because they're not necessarily convicts, but it's right, county jail.
Right.
So it's a lot of people waiting for certain things, but they are rushing to get prosecutors, public defenders, defense attorneys, and their clients in front of judges, magistrates, whatever they can, as fast as possible, to get things pled down to house arrest and get people out of jail, because jails are incredibly bad for things like this, right? Like, you're bringing in all... in. Because of, like, who gets affected, right? Like, so a lot of the people in jail are poor, indigent, homeless.
Right.
Or, you know, people living in low-income housing and, you know, projects and areas where diseases like this can spread really quickly. And then they go into jails. And the conditions in most jails in the country are very conducive to the spread of a virus or a disease. And Cuyahoga County is already under a huge magnifying glass because of how bad their jails are. So they are in a mad rush right now to get people out of jail in Cuyahoga County. It's a story that's on Fox 8 News in Cleveland, if anybody wants to read it, that I just thought was something that was really, really interesting. And it makes you kind of wonder, you know, you were talking about how this impacts working from home. And is there an impact after the fact? Do you see an actual criminal justice reform come out of this, where we say, okay, maybe we shouldn't just keep throwing everybody in jail who can't afford it and making them stay there and wait there and spend excessive time in there? Maybe we need to start coming up with alternative methods of dealing with this stuff instead of stockpiling people in county jail for extended periods of time.
And places like that have poor sanitation options, and they have terrible air conditioning.
Have you ever been in county?
No, I've not. You've never
been arrested, right?
No.
Okay. I will not confirm or deny if I have or not. But I spent, as a public defender, I spent plenty of time at 26 in California, in Chicago. And that place, while is a little bit of a marvel, just because it's a county jail, like literally just a county, like county lockup, I'm waiting to go, whatever, but it's massive. It looks like maximum security prison. I mean, there's razor wire, there are gun towers, there's multiple, it divides, it bifurcates a street, right? Like, so it's split. The one side is the parking, but I mean, it's this massive multiple acre site with, you know, underground tunnels. And I mean, it was built in, I don't know. It was
late 1800s, early 1900s.
Who knows? I actually don't know. I wish I could remember. I think we did do a tour when I first started there as an intern, or extern, or whatever I started there as. But I mean, it's been there forever. Right. The building is ancient, and you know, like some of the holding facilities are, I mean, some are a lot newer because they keep building to make it bigger and bigger. But I mean, it's massive, and again, poor sanitation.
Air handling is huge in something like this.
Right. I mean, like, you've got a lot of shitty recycled air coming through. You've got a lot of old, bad air sending, you know, like...
Why cruise ships are so bad is it's the same air and stuff.
Right. I mean, so you mix this bad, moldy, crappy air in with the fact that you've got people who may be coming in with respiratory issues, that's more coughing, that's more hacking, sneezing, everything else that's involved, and that's how this shit spreads, right? And then not to mention, in Chicago... when you're waiting for, like, arraignment, like, so in the morning, they just, like, bring in, like, a herd of cattle, you know, all these different, you know, inmates and stuff waiting for, to go to court and all this other shit to see if they're, you know, if they're even on the docket that day, and they shove them all in this bullpen, right? It's just a giant cage, and they got all these people, just all these 200 guys, just all, you know, men and women, all just all shoved in there. Right, I mean, you know, the men and women
get sick, and they're going to take out 200.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's crazy. So, I just thought that was just an interesting aspect, which good for Cuyahoga County for thinking ahead. I mean, because their reputation was so bad that probably a year ago, they don't even consider this, if all things being the same. But just because, I mean, they've had 12 people die in the last 18 months, not due to corona, but I mean, like,
just, ineptitude, corrupt. Well, not corruption is not the right word, but
now there's some corruption. All right. I mean, like, some of the stuff these guards were doing was just downright
abusive.
Right. I mean, like, just beating special needs people. You know, they locked one guy in a closet
for like 4 days. That was on the serial podcast. Mean,
just all sorts of terribles. No. This is a different guy.
Okay. Well, then they did it twice. Yeah. At least.
Tying people to, you know, handcuffing and securing people to chairs and then beating the shit out of them. Handcuffing and securing them to chairs and then knocking the chair over. You know, causing head wounds and things like that. And then not giving the people medical attention. You know, sex, rape.
Right. Well, that's the other thing about providing medical care in holding facilities is already bad. Right. It's only going to get stressed more.
They don't have enough. There's not enough nurses. Not enough social workers. Not enough beds. Like these are the
things. We're not painting a very nice picture.
Well, that good. I mean, because it's not about painting a nice picture, right? The president fucked up in the beginning. Right.
You tried to paint it. It's no big deal. Liberal.
It's no right. Hoax, it's whatever. It was a liberal hoax, and he's trying to take him down. And he paints this picture like we got a handle on it. Not that many people will get it. It's not that bad. Seasonal flu. He goes out there. He's retweeting memes from, you know, MAGA faithful guy. And it's just like, what the fuck? You are the president. You are not some fucking troll on Twitter. Right, like you need to be working with the CDC. You need to be working with the World Health Organization. You need to be trying to figure out what the fuck is happening in China, what the fuck is happening in Italy, what the fuck is happening in Iran, South Korea, Japan, these places where this thing is hit, and we know that it's had an impact. The question is, what is it, and what can we learn from it? And that's not what he did. He's doing it now,
right?
Okay, but I mean, it's late, and I mean, the difference is, yes, Obama was late to the party with Ebola, absolutely. But they got a handle on it quickly because they had a team in place. And Ebola wasn't nearly... It was more deadly if you got it, but it was harder to get it. It was harder to transfer.
Mostly from Africa, where there's not nearly as many people traveling back and forth between the United States and...
Right.
And then, I mean,
there's a lot, but I mean, yeah, there's but not like nearly China. As many. Right?
Not I mean, like China, not like even Italy, probably. I mean, Italy's a tourism mainstay.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably more travel from Africa than we're thinking. I mean, you know,
just based on numbers, but
yeah, just based on the numbers and sheer size. I mean, right. I think there's sometimes we forget about how large the continent of Africa is, and it's not just one country. I know
it wasn't.
Just in general, like, I mean, it is a massive land. It's a huge landmass, sure. And there's a lot of people there. So I mean, there's a shit ton of travel, which again kind of goes to the fact that Ebola was handled correctly. Even if we were slow on the draw, we still were able to get it. This is not that.
Right.
You know.
Well, and another one more dumb thing that I'm seeing that I'm going to lash out about now. I've seen people saying gas prices are down because of coronavirus.
No.
Gas prices are down because Russia and Saudi Arabia are in a price war.
Yes.
Period.
And Russia and Saudi Arabia are in a price war, and then what's going on here, the hit that we took did not help, right? I mean, like, so...
In terms of...
Our shale prices and energy prices here did not help. Like, they almost had a deal that maybe would have possibly brought gas prices back up, which we're not really looking forward to. Like, I mean, you and I both drive large trucks. Yours is a little bit more gas efficient than mine, but mine is faster, so whatever. And... you know, so I don't mind the lower gas prices, but, I mean, I recognize that at some point they're going to have to go up. What's going on with the gas is not directly related.
It's not even remotely related, really. I mean, people are probably consuming less because they're traveling less, but, all right, I'm sorry. That was just another one of these things. I'm seeing it everywhere, and I'm like, what in the fuck are people thinking? I'm really tired of dumb, and this is a time when we got to stop being dumb in a hurry, because... We could really need to rely on each other real soon. We already have to. We already have to start changing our behaviors and being smarter about it now. And washing your hands should be.
We are seeing it. You do have those hardliners out there who still are hoax, 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 and none of this is necessary. And we're going to look back and we're going to realize we didn't need to do all that. And you know what? That's great. If we can look back and say it was all for nothing, I would much rather that than the alternative of. you know, having to put up a fucking coronavirus memorial with a million fucking names on it.
Well, and also, and this is, again, pet peeve number 8 from today. If these actions prevent an outbreak and save thousands, hundreds of thousands of lives, we shouldn't shit on the actions.
Well,
we
that's what glad. I'm saying.
Okay.
But I that's exactly what I'm saying, right?
But people are going to say, it was never a big deal. Actually, it was going to be, and we did the right things.
Right.
And
I mean, I would much rather look back, like I just said, and say, glad it didn't get as bad as it could have been.
Right,
right. No, it wasn't that big of a deal, but it could have been a lot worse.
But the people, the people who cry hoax, if there isn't a disaster, are going to say it was all a hoax, and they're going to be wrong. But that's not a reason not to do it. I'm not saying that.
We can't let the problem is in our political discourse for the longest time, for the last 10 years, we've allowed the loudest on either side, liberal, progressive, conservative, whatever, we've allowed the loudest voices to control the political discourse and control the narrative.
It's more entertaining.
I mean, whether it's on social media or it's in regular news media or what have you, that is the reason why Donald Trump is president, right? It's just because he was the loudest and the most ridiculous. And we got away from the idea of compromise. And we got away from the idea of the greater good. And it turned into what is best for me. What is best for my family.
My tribe.
And my tribe, right. We descended into tribalism, right? And some will argue we had been there for a while. But there was, for at least a short period in our history, there felt like there was some homeostasis in there.
Right.
You know, towards the end of the 90s and through the early 2000s. And then things got rocked off kilter. You know, and I don't know why that was. Like, a lot of people say, well, it's because of Obama and everything that he did. Yeah, maybe.
It was, I think, because of people's reaction to Obama. They were getting told all the time.
I disagree. I think, honestly, it didn't have anything to do with the fact that it was Obama. It was social media. It was the fact that all of a sudden, everybody had a voice, which was good. And also, fuck, everybody's got a voice, right? That means every idiot who wants to be a troll and say shitty things, right? And then people were promoted. Right, people were promoted, whether it was on YouTube or Twitter. What, like, how many people out there are looked to as a voice of whatever? Like, a person like Candace Owens.
I was named Rush Limbaugh.
You know, no, Rush Limbaugh's been around for fucking
30 years, but he's one of the ones who was screaming during Obama's administration. Okay, that every white person was being shit on.
Rush Limbaugh's been around forever. That's a bad example, but I mean, like, you take a person like a Candace Owens, right? If not for social media, Candace Owens is nobody, right? We don't even know her name. We don't even give a shit. Right, but because of it, like, I mean, think about all these people, whether it's that Milo Yiannopoulos or whatever, and like, there's so many people that have been able to who have literally been turned into social media rock stars and personalities. Yep. Right, they didn't have to have a particular talent, they didn't have to have a skill set, they didn't even have to offer anything worthwhile. It didn't even have to be true. Right. You have so many people just throw whatever they want out there, and it's just like, it doesn't matter whether it's true or not, and it's all because of social media. I'm not saying social media is the end of the world, but I'm saying that is why we are where we are.
And the reason I brought up Limbaugh was not because of social media. Because
you hate him.
Well, no, I do, but also because his impact in terms of making people feel like they're being attacked by the government and furthering tribalism,
he's been doing that for 30 years.
Through the roof with Obama. It went through the roof with Clinton. It just, he's taxing you too much. That same mentality was, you know, Obama hates white people. I believe it got a lot worse because of him.
Rush Limbaugh has been Rush Limbaugh before Obama. Okay,
I'm aware. Like,
we agree,
yes,
right?
Yes.
All of his shit got amplified. Like, if you take social media away, Rush Limbaugh was still going to be saying what he was saying.
True.
Right. What amplified Rush Limbaugh? Right, like, Rush Limbaugh was going to say racist shit about Obama no matter what.
Right.
Right? Like, so if you take social media away, that still happens. What happened was social media amplified it.
And spread it, and people who listen to him can then get on their Twitter.
But he wasn't the only one.
He's not the only one.
He wasn't the leader of the pack. He didn't gather them all around and say, hey.
But he's kind of the...
And he didn't need to.
He's kind of the, in my opinion, like, the founder of that.
But it doesn't matter. There's so many... But there are people who are going to do... Like, right? Like... You and I aren't doing this show, like, well, maybe you are because of Rogan, but, like, you and I are doing this.
Exactly.
Right, I wasn't a fan of podcasts, I wasn't a fan of YouTube or any of that shit before this, but I like your thought process on this, right? So I didn't look to anybody and say, ooh, that's who I want to be, right? There's a million people out there who are doing this shit because they want to get their message out.
Right.
Right, whatever that message is and however it's formed, and I don't think that they need a ringleader like a Rush Limbaugh to do it. That's why I'm pushing back on your point so hard.
And I know a few people who just get all of their information from that asshole.
Yeah,
and,
but there's plenty of people on the left who get their information.
From Bill Maher, sure, but I don't think it's an apples-to-apples thing with those two.
Because you don't want it to be.
Well, all right, I genuinely believe it in my mind. I don't think I'm being influenced by my hatred for Rush Limbaugh that I can't be honest about.
How many
about.
People get all their information only from Rachel Maddow?
I don't know.
Plenty.
Okay.
Plenty. All right. I mean, yeah, she's got the number one show on TV in that time slot.
Okay.
Right? I mean, how many people were influenced by fucking Bill O'Reilly?
Bill O'Reilly. All right,
that wasn't even intentional.
Let's. All right, we can do our who's the biggest asshole debate another time. Is there anything else you want to?
No, I mean, I think that's it for this special. Is this a special edition? Special edition
coming out right now. So this is as live as it gets for us. Good talking to you, man. I think I'm more scared now than I was when we started, but maybe that's a good thing. All right. You ready?
Yeah.
We're out.